Continue our series this morning on the church, and I've been really blessed with the first two messages that Aristide brought, and I was super blessed by the message I brought. But no, I've been enjoying working on these messages and hearing messages on the church. You know, the Bible says that God loved the church and gave himself for it and purchased it with his own blood. And Aristide and I both feel that we need a resurgence of that passion, the passion for the church that God has. His people, we too should have a passion for the body of Christ and learning how to live out and know our own, be able to define ourselves and to live that out in life. So may God bless you today. Today we're focusing on chapter 12, and as if your Bible is like mine, it has a title to it, The Use of Spiritual Gifts. I just want to give a warning. Would you please close off your mind, all right? Perhaps some of you are saying spiritual gifts. Oh yeah, I know. Spiritual gifts, yeah. If you're of the devil, you are like those people who heal and speak in tongues, and if you're holy, then those things are ceased for today, and we're not like that. And don't approach that text like that, because you're wrong and you're going to end up in error, all right? This is not what Paul is talking about. The gifts were used in the church at that time, so it has nothing to do with who's holy and who's right and what's of the devil and what's of the spirit. Let's just go to the text with an open mind to learn about the church, all right? So free yourself from all that. Take it out of your head. Not even gonna think about it. I'm not even going that way, so just don't think we're going there. Just free yourself. We're talking about the church. Let us pray. Our Father, we do want to be free from reservations, Lord. We want to be free from preconceived ideas. We want to be free from controversies. Lord, we just want to be open to what you have to say about the church and what we here at Providence should learn today about the Church of Jesus Christ for our own lives. May we capture the intent of what you're saying here, O God, because we believe this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God to the churches, to Providence here this morning. So, Lord, open our eyes that we might see and understand, that we may live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the text. Now, concerning spiritual gifts. If you were to read this letter of 1 Corinthians, you would recognize these words, now concerning. Now concerning. The reason you would recognize it, because you would see this term, you're going to see this term several times in this letter, this first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. You see, Paul had received a letter that we don't have access to from the Corinthians, previous letter to this letter, and the members of the church had raised concerns or questions on several issues. And Paul, in this first letter to the Corinthians, he is responding to those questions and much more. If you, for example, if you look at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 and verse 25, Paul wrote, "Now concerning these things which you wrote, is it good for a man not to touch a woman?" Here we see Paul dealing with the question, he addresses marriage and virgins. So in verse 7:1, he says, "Now concerning the things which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." And then in 7:25, he says, "Now concerning virgins." In chapter 8, verse 1, we see Paul answer to food offered to idols. Whatever their concern was at Corinth, they had asked Paul to address it. Look at verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1. "Now concerning things sacrificed to idols." In chapter 16, verse 1, Paul addresses the question of the giving to the saints, to God's people. So you look at 16, verse 1, "Now concerning the collection of the saints." So in our text here this morning, when we get to chapter 12, verse 1, Paul is saying, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." So Paul is going to address to the church the questions they had about spiritual gifts. We do not know the precise question, how it was worded, but we can anticipate or appreciate and understand that all that we know is that Paul was going to give his comments on spiritual gifts, hopefully answering their questions. So let's go back to the text. Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. I do not want you to be unaware. The question is, Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be unaware, or I don't want you to be ignorant. Unaware or ignorant of what? Of what? Paul does not want the Corinthians to be ignorant or unaware of the fact of how to properly use spiritual gifts. It seems that within the church, there were believers who, instead of using their spiritual gifts for the good of others, brothers and sisters in the body, their gifts to them was really a badge of superiority over others. With strong emphasis on speaking in tongues, and especially in chapter 12, Paul addresses that very issue. It seems some felt that they, because they could speak in tongues, they were the spiritual ones in the church. So there were the spiritual and the not spiritual. If you had the higher gifts, you were spiritual. If you did not, you were not. And perhaps there was confusion in the church over that issue. But Paul had to correct this. If you look in 1 Corinthians 12:7, he says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Spiritual gifts are not for our own personal recognition, Paul is teaching here. They are intended to be a blessing and serve the entire body. Every Christian has a spiritual gift in order to contribute to the benefit of the entire body, the church. Spiritual gifts are other orientated, and that's basically the direction we're going to be going in this morning. Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Then he says this, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Spirit. Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren and brothers and sisters in Christ, I do not want you to be ignorant. Paul says, I want you to know something. But first, let me tell you what you already know. He says, you know. He says, you know that when you were pagans, you were being spiritually led. Yes, you were being led to mute idols who could not talk or speak. You see, they were coming out of a culture of a spiritual experience. I don't know the situation, I'm only speculating, but I do know that in some pagan practices, through frenzy and through sometimes the use of materials and drugs or whatever, people are brought into a frenzy and they're into dancing and even speaking in other languages and communicating with their gods. I'm not sure if perhaps the Corinthians, in hearing the speaking of tongues in their midst, were confused and saying, is this of God or is this from what I came from? I don't know if that was the issue or not. But I do know, Paul says, you know this, that you were pagans and you were being spiritually led. But you were being spiritually led to these mute idols. You don't have to be a Christian to be spiritual. I mean, spiritual is very popular today in our culture, isn't it? People love to talk on ways to internalize paths, the peace within. You know, people don't mind talking about prayers and mantras and soft music and meditation, exercise, the food we eat, how we view money. It's even healthy to believe in some impersonal force outside of ourselves that's over us and above us. When you're spiritual, all religions are equal. The God that religions look to is irrelevant. What's important is that you do not judge others and make their relationship with this deity. You keep it to yourself. So you can have many gods and many worshipers, but you're really spiritual is when you don't say, you need my God. No, you're really spiritual when everybody is just giving themselves to whatever makes them feel right and peaceful with them. Being spiritual, they say, is not being religious. And so many people say that, yes, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. So what Paul is saying, being spiritual alone does not mean that you're spiritual or that you're truly spiritual in the sense of being spiritual in the eyes of the true and living God. So who are the spiritual? Who are the spiritual? Paul tells us the Holy Spirit of God will never lead anyone to say, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit of God. So if you want to know who is spiritual, true spirituality is this. No one who's truly spiritual will ever say that Jesus is accursed. And only the truly spiritual can say Jesus is Lord. You know, when I was young, I spoke a lot about Christ Jesus. Many times, ashamedly, in a very blasphemous manner. I mocked his followers, made fun of them. I spoke ignorantly about Christ. Sometimes that ignorance was because I just didn't know the Bible. I never read it before. I was saying Jesus is accursed, even if I did not use those words. My actions, my manners, my mockery, my irreverence, unbelief, all those things were saying that Jesus was accursed. When God saved me, my view of Christ changed. I knew I needed him to be saved. All of a sudden, his work and message had something to it that really laid hold of me and humbled me. I needed to be forgiven. I needed to be right with God. I felt far from God, and the gospel was pointing me that through Jesus Christ there is forgiveness. Not only did I realize I needed him to be saved, but knowing him, after repenting and coming to know him, he changed my life. He controlled the choices I made and how I was to live. He controlled my use of time. He even controlled who I began to hang out with. I found myself trying, all of a sudden beginning to align myself with people who were foreign to the world that I lived in. I found myself dropping the old and taking on the new. He opened up to me the scriptures, the very word of God. And I began to yield to the scriptures, and Christ through the scriptures began to shape and mold me in a way that had never happened to me before in my life. In time, I realized that what I was doing was saying, Jesus is Lord. See, that can only happen. To say Jesus is Lord can only happen when we are regenerated, when you are made new in Christ. So, spiritual people are only those who confess that Jesus is Lord. Only saved people, by God's grace, our spiritual people. It is only these people who have truly spiritual gifts. All right. So, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So Paul answers the question, well, who are spiritual? But now we want to know, all right, where do spiritual gifts come from? Okay, there are spiritual gifts. Where do they come? Because Paul began to, the very first thing he says is now concerning spiritual gifts. And then he steps aside for a minute and says, this is who's spiritual. Now let's get back to the gifts again. He says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. In verse 1, Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, he used one word that we, in our translation, says spiritual gifts, but really it's only one word. And I hope I pronounce it right. It's called pneumatikos, which is translated spiritual gift. But here in verse 4, now there are a variety of gifts. He doesn't use the word pneumatikos. He uses a different word for gift, and it's called charisma, which means a gift of grace. Paul says, now there are a variety of gifts, and then he lists 9 of these grace gifts. Look at verse 8. He says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, that's one. To another, the word of knowledge according to the Spirit, same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, effective of miracles. That's one I have, same Spirit. To another, prophecy, all right. To another, distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. I just realized this is being taped, so I don't really have the gift of miracles, okay? Take that off, delete it out. I'm just throwing that in there. All right, but this is not a completed list of gifts that the New Testament talks about. He just wanted to state the fact that there are a variety of gifts. And there's other lists of gifts found in the New Testament. If you were to even write in this same book, if you look in chapter 12 of this chapter again, same chapter, verse 28, he lists the gifts of apostles and prophets and teachers, workers of miracles, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. In Romans 12, 6 to 8, there's a list of gifts, and it says we have grace gifts of prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, showing mercy. In Ephesians 4:11, again, we have gifts. We have apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. And even Peter himself says we have the speaking gifts and gifts of service. So there are all sorts of spiritual gifts, and Paul just mentions a few of them. That's why he says there are a variety of gifts, but the key is there is only one Spirit. There is just one Spirit. The same Spirit, excuse me. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Whatever the gift may be, it is the same Spirit at work in the life of the believer. Because it is the same Spirit who's behind every gift distributed to the people of the church, there shouldn't be any pride or division in the church over gifts. The Holy Spirit does not initiate separation, rather he promotes unity. The Holy Spirit enables members of Christ's church to receive, develop, and apply these variety of gifts in unity. If I have the gifts of ministry and you have the gift of tongues, one is not higher than the other. There are a variety of gifts, and Paul doesn't say, and they're all of the Spirit. He says this, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. You see what he's trying to do? He's trying to show us that we have no right to feel, I have this gift, so I'm higher than you who only have this gift. Gifts aren't measured by your abilities or rank. Gifts are all gifts equally because they all come from the same Spirit. Do you get that? And Paul says, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. He says, and there are a variety of ministries and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. A variety of gifts, the same Spirit. A variety of ministries, the same Lord. A variety of effects, but the same God. Here Paul is teaching that from the Lord Jesus Christ, when Paul says, and there are a variety of ministries, but the same Lord, Paul is teaching that from the Lord Jesus Christ come the spiritual gifts of ministry in the church. The Greek word here for ministry is diakonia. And we get that word, a deacon, from this word. Here we have the spirit of service in the body of Christ. Christ equips different people to serve him in, for example, we can give a list. I just thought up a few of worship, of music, of preaching, of teaching, of outreach, of counseling, encouraging, administration, and governing, in cleaning and mowing the lawn, and the list goes on and on and on. No one can boast or feel they have a greater gift because they all come from the same Lord. Jesus is the same for every believer, and he shows no favoritism. Whenever we serve him humbly, he acknowledges the service of each one of us. Jesus said in Matthew 25, 35 to 40, he says, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see a stranger and invite you in and naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say unto them, truly, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these, my brethren, even the least of them, you did it unto me. When we are serving, and we're serving the body of Christ, we are serving the Lord himself, and he is administering these gifts, and he will recognize you in that. Then Paul says there are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. The word for effects is energema. In English, we would have the word energy or energetic or energize. There are a variety of effects means the actions are the results of God's energizing power. Here we see God's power in action. I personally see this, for example, in preaching. I preach, I don't feel I connect with anyone sometimes. And sometimes I feel that was terrible. And then after I go out and start talking, and people are like, wow, was that ever uplifting? Did that ever help me? I'm going, whoa, it's got to be the power of God, because certainly it wasn't the power of me. Many of you here who serve at Providence, I know you serve. And I know you're tired. I know some of you are tired and frustrated at times. But remember, God strengthens us to serve. He strengthens us to serve. That's why Paul could say to the Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians, he says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. You see, it is God who is behind the Word. He's the Spirit. The Spirit is giving these gifts, these grace gifts. And Christ is giving out ministries. And the Father is empowering us even when we need that strength. Because labor, it is a labor. It is a labor. And God understands. So He comforts and He energizes that we can keep on going. That's why you see exhortations by Paul and Peter together at times. They say, I know I told you this, but I'm going to tell you again. I know you're doing it, but do it even more. Like that's the call upon us as servants in the body of Christ. And we need to know these are grace gifts, not for ourselves, but for one another. There are ministries that the Lord Jesus has given us, and we're empowered by the Father to carry them forth. We serve God in Trinity, don't we? We serve God in Trinity. Okay, let's go back to our text. Paul says, not concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. I'm going to tell you who the true spiritual people are. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. True, concerning spiritual gifts, first you need to be spiritual. To be spiritual, you need to be saved. You need to be saying Jesus is Lord. Now there are a variety of gifts. A variety of gifts. There are many. But they all come from the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. There are a variety of effects of strengthening power, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Now look at verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Let's take a moment and think, what does he mean, the manifestation of the Spirit? The phrase, the manifestation of the Spirit, signifies an action that reveals the presence of the Spirit. When something is manifested, that means it's opened up, right? It's revealed. So Paul says, but each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. A spiritual gift is the manifestation of the Spirit in an individual's life. So when I'm exercising a spiritual gift, and I'm exercising that gift, say, to Lisa, really, the Spirit is manifesting Himself in that deed, in that action, to minister to her. The Spirit, a spiritual gift, is how the Holy Spirit shows up or reveals Himself in your life, the one who has been given the gift, and reveals himself to the one you are ministering to. A few weeks ago, Aristide pointed out to us that the Father makes himself visible in the church by how we love one another. Paul is saying here, the Holy Spirit makes himself visible when we use our spiritual gifts one to another. We saw last week that God's manifold wisdom was made manifest in the church. So we got God being revealed in the church all the time by so many ways. By our love to one another, by our ministry to one another, by just displaying to the world the diversity of people all coming together to have one mind and one purpose. God Himself in triune form, in Trinity, is being revealed, is being manifested in the church of Jesus Christ. When you sense you should walk beside someone and encourage them. The Holy Spirit, through your gift of encouragement or counseling, is showing up to minister and to comfort one of Christ's lambs. Do you realize that? When you're happy to come to church to clean the floor and scrub the toilets, do you know that the Holy Spirit is showing up because He's concerned for our health and our safety? In every service that we do, it's a manifestation of the Spirit. Oh, that we would just get that. So each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And for the common good explains to us what the purpose of our gifts are. If you flip your Bible over to 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 26, Paul says, "What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation." Paul says, "Let all things be done for edification." Edification. Simon Kistmaster, in his commentary on Corinthians, says the evidence of the Spirit's presence in the life of a believer serves the common good of the entire community. The Spirit uses the gifts of the individual Christian for the edification of the church. The intent is to promote the common good and to prohibit anyone from using a gift for personal profit. Paul does not rule out that the gift itself may benefit the individual, but God confers His gifts on His people so that all may be edified. You see, and that's what the Corinthians did not get. And that's what you should understand. Any gift that you have comes from the Lord, and its purpose is for the edification of all. A gift is not meant to lift us up, although having a gift benefits me greatly. I get enriched when God gifts me to do something. I mean, those gifts, I don't think sometimes are necessarily permanent, but God, I believe, uses gifts in a variety of ways, in a variety of times. But, what blessing it is when someone comes and they have an issue, a problem, and it, all of a sudden the scriptures are opened up to you and you have a word for them. And they look at you and go, "Wow, Mr. Theologian, you know so much." And you go, "What? Really, I wouldn't have ever known that. It just came to me, you know." But just to know, like, "Oh, I was used today, Lord." Like, it makes you feel good that God used you to help someone. But we're never to be at that place where, you know, all of a sudden our head gets that big and now we're the only counselor in the church, or we're the only spiritual one in the church. That's not the point. The point is that when God uses and gifts me for something, He's gifting me for the edification of all. It's a gift used by the Spirit, and the Spirit is manifesting Himself through me to someone else to help them. It's for the common good. But if you look in other places, Paul says in Romans 1, for example, and we saw this a while back in preaching through Romans, but if you look at Romans 1, 11 and 12, Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each one of us by each other's faith, both yours and mine." John Piper, only he can say it, said this: "The translation 'impart to you some spiritual gift' is misleading because it sounds like Paul wants to help them have a gift. But the text actually means that he wants to give them the benefits of his gifts. I long to see you that I may use my gifts to strengthen you." The first and most obvious thing we learn from this text is that spiritual gifts are for strengthening others. We learn from Corinthians that spiritual gifts are for edification. And here in Romans, we're learning that spiritual gifts are for strengthening. This, of course, does not mean that the person who has the spiritual gift gets no joy or benefit from it. We do. But it does suggest that the gifts are given to be given. They are not given to be hoarded. I desire to share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, what Paul is saying. And what does to strengthen mean? He is not referring to bodily strength, but to the strength of faith. And it's the same word that Paul in 1 Thessalonians says about Timothy. We sent Timothy, our brother and servant in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen you in your faith and to exhort you that no one be moved by these afflictions. So to strengthen someone by spiritual gifts means you help them in their faith and not to give way when the issues of life fall upon them. We have spiritual gifts in order to help other people to keep the faith through the storms of life, through doubt and through unbelief. God uses us, and he uses our gifts to help others. Let's look at Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the building up the body of Christ, till we all attain to the unity of the faith and acknowledge the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure and stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The spiritual gifts. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? He says, for the equipping of the saints, for the building up of the body, for unity, for knowledge. So we can see at least three purposes for spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. They edify, they strengthen, they build up. It's the manifestation of the Spirit doing all of these things, of the triune God, of giving gifts of grace, of giving gifts of service, and empowering us to carry them through. And it's all a manifestation of the Spirit in the life of the body of Christ. But there's one more. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, employ it for one another. Each one of you has received a gift. Employ it for one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who utters the oracles of God, whoever renders service as one who renders it by the strength which God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. You see what he's saying? First, take note, each of us has received a gift. Gifts are not just for a few. They're not just the elite spiritual ones, and then the rest of us are just lowly and nobodies. We're all spiritual. We're all spiritual because if we're born again, we're all spiritual because we all say Jesus is Lord. And we live our lives under his lordship. And it's those whom God grants the variety of gifts. We're all spiritual. We all have gifts, Peter says. And every believer has the ability, which the Holy Spirit has given us, that we can use it for edification and strengthening and building up. So what are we to do? You say, I don't know my gifts. I don't even know what my gift is. Let me tell you how you can discover your gift. Go and serve someone in order to strengthen them. Go and serve someone in order to edify them. Go and serve someone in order to build them up. And you'll discover what kind of gift God has given you. Someone in your church is down. Invite them to supper. You may find you have the gift of hospitality. Someone looks kind of different at church. You go over to them and you share a word with them. Maybe you've been given the gift of exhortation for that day or forever. But you won't know until you start serving. So it's not, oh, there's a list. There's a list. Lord, I'll take that one. Or I think I got that one. Or I don't see anything on the list that's me. That's not what it's about. It's about us giving ourselves away for the good of others in the body of Christ. And when you do that, the Spirit will gift you, and He will manifest Himself through you in every situation. Let's pray. Father, encourage your people here at Providence. Encourage Aristide and I, Lord. Encourage all of us, Father, to give ourselves away to you. Lord, that we would give ourselves away for the common good, Lord, for the serving of one another. And our Father, as we do, would you help us, Lord, to recognize what is happening in our life, to rejoice in it. Father God, whatever that gift you give us or allow us to have for a season or forever, Father, we can allow us to grow in it, our God, that we would grow to be teachers and counselors and servants and soldiers and, Lord, all that is needed in the body of Christ for the church to move forward, being edified and built up and strengthened. Father, we know all this comes from you, from the Spirit, from the Lord, and from the Father God. So, Lord, may we love the church. May we give ourselves away to the body of Christ, our Lord. May we give ourselves away to the body. And, Father, help us to be humble and lowly, to see ourselves as servants of the Lord. Oh, our Father, give us that Spirit. That lowly spirit, Lord, and yet put a joy in our heart that we can serve you, God. That, Lord, Father, the talents and gifts you give us are not meant to elevate us, but to serve you, the living God, that you may be glorified, as Peter said, in all things in the church. So, Father, I pray this instruction today is helpful for your people, that, Lord, we would search and, see ourselves as if we are nobodies in the body, Lord. We're all a someone to you. And Lord, I know that you acknowledge that. We are all your children. And you equip us and gift us so that we are part of the body. Pray no one at Providence would feel left out. Pray, God, they would see that in your eyes they are important and are useful and needed. And Lord, again, give us that spirit of just ministering for the good of all. In Jesus' name we pray.